Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. I'd like to have the clerk please take the roll call.
Do we have Russ, by the way?
Yeah, I have the dial in.
Oh, so let's hold on.
If you can start, and then I'll get him.
Yeah, I know, but I want to make sure we at least have him prepared.
John, I can't remember, do I dial nine on this one?
Okay. And thank you, Tom, for reminding me.
Are you calling, are dialing in Russ?
We're dialing him now, and then we don't call him. We'll call him.
We'll call him, he's not here, and then we have a motion to include him.
Telephone.
Telephonic.
Hello.
Russ?
Hey, Russ, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So we take the roll call now?
When I take the roll call, he does not answer here.
Correct, when you take the roll, trustee Vasquez is not present until a motion's been made and passed to allow him to participate telephonically.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Great, if you can take the roll.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Carji.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez. Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennig. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, so I think now we make the motion to, okay, can I have a motion to have Russ phone in telephonically due to work obligations?
I move to allow trustee Vasquez to participate telephonically.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, motion passed.
Okay, very good. Susan, comments? Do we have Susan? Yeah. So please, Susan, take the podium.
All right. Good morning. I'm Susan Altier. I live at 12 Ashland. And I just wanted to share an email that I sent last night for consideration in discussion in this meeting. And I wrote to the president and trustees yesterday through the Village Board website. Mm-hmm. I'm writing in regard to the special meeting that you have tomorrow morning, March 16th at 9 a.m. to vote on an ordinance amending the Village Code, authorizing the Village President to declare a state of emergency. I realize what an unprecedented position we all find ourselves in related to the steps being taken around COVID-19 and the urgency of all the decisions related to it. That said, as our elected officials, I ask that each of you explore as thoroughly as possible the specifics of this ordinance and the language within it for discussion and consideration at your meeting tomorrow. I plan to attend the meeting and share these comments with the public comment portion of the meeting, and expect that during your portion of the meeting that there will be many thoughtful questions asked and careful consideration given to the language within the ordinance to protect the citizens of this village and you as our elected officials. As a start for this exploration, I point you to the following article that explains the concerns immediately raised by the passing of a similar ordinance in Champaign, Illinois, and provided the website address for it, which was illinoispolicy.org/Champaign City Council gives mayor power to impose curfew, seize private property. In response to that email, I did receive a responding email from Eric Palm, copying the village attorney and all of you. I believe it said that it was a BCC. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your email. I appreciate your recognition of the current pandemic and national, state, and municipal emergency that we are in. We are working around the clock regarding this matter. You didn't cite any specific concerns other than referencing the Illinois Policy Institute article. Thus, if I have to take a guess based on the article and the headline, you're concerned about some governmental overreach. If you read the proposed River Forest Ordinance, Section 2D, it states as follows: a declaration of emergency pursuant to this authority may not suspend in any way the rights of persons under the Illinois or United States constitutions. I can't speak to Champaign's situation or considerations. Thank you, Eric Palm. And finally, my response to that Eric, I didn't cite any specific concerns because I don't have any specific concerns. Thus, you don't have to take a guess. I am simply asking for our elected village government to ensure that they are taking every opportunity in what is an incredibly short amount of time, based on extraordinary circumstances, to understand as best they can the implications of what they are voting on, and for the residents of our village to be given the opportunity to hear a discussion clarifying what the ordinance means, what it includes, what it does not include, its potential implications for us as a community. Yes, I did read the River Forest Ordinance. I'm not an attorney, so I don't always clearly understand the legalese within ordinances. That's why I'm asking questions and sharing an example of another ordinance in Illinois that has caused concern for people in that community. I wouldn't expect that you would be able to speak to Champaign's situation or considerations, but do expect that your legal counsel has done their due diligence in exploring how other municipalities are dealing with this and can help to clarify for the trustees any questions that they may have at the meeting tomorrow regarding similarities and differences between the proposed River Forest Ordinance and ordinances from other municipalities in the state, like the example that I shared. See you at the meeting. And just to summarize simply, you cannot blindly approve something because we're all nervous. I know we're all nervous. This is a time that none of us have ever faced. And I just, you know, this came up so quickly. All of you have not, you know, you don't have a lot to base this on. So I was just simply asking for there to be discussion and consideration. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Susan. And okay, so what I'd like to ask the board is if we've got the fourth one, if maybe we could take the fourth first and then we'll take the third item. If you want to do that just to kind of get through it, unless there's.
Move to approve an ordinance amending the village code regarding the imposition of a local motor fuel tax due to a request from the Illinois Department of Revenue.
Okay. Second.
Thank you. Eric, do you want to say anything about this? And
yeah, normally we would have saved this for another agenda in light of having the special meeting, and we had received the letter from the Illinois Department of Revenue on Friday. The timing, and it has to be approved by, sent in by April 1st, not knowing if we were going to have another board meeting, we just decided to get this on the agenda. This does not change any of the legislative intent that you have already approved. This is merely a technical changes as required by the Department of Revenue in order to enact the local motor fuel tax.
Okay. Any particular questions that you have regarding those changes that Illinois Department of Revenue asked? Okay, hearing none, let's please take the vote.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yeah.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's go on to then item number three. If I can have trustee move in second, and we can discuss this.
Motion to approve ordinance amending the village code regarding authorizing the village president to declare a state of emergency if needed.
Second.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you for being here, and certainly, Susan, I agree with you. I mean, this is an extraordinary times and extraordinary efforts that we're trying to work on together with all the communities that we're working with, Oak Park, Forest Park, Maywood, and such. The Illinois Municipal League, so that you know, I think I sent it all to you yesterday, is working on a model ordinance as well for these emergencies. So it's just not affecting us here. You'll probably see a lot of these ordinances be adopted over the next several days, maybe hours. It's just because we're in such extremely extraordinary times. Again, the whole situation, as you all know, is very fluid. Certainly, we've got our village attorney here to answer any questions that you might have regarding this ordinance. I do think it's fairly straightforward. It's very limited. But Greg, maybe you want to just hit the highlights so that we have a clear understanding of what this allows me to do.
Absolutely. So in a state of emergency, one of the biggest issues you have is flexibility of action. The Village of River Forest and municipalities in Illinois are restricted in terms of flexibility under normal circumstances when village board approval is needed to take a step you have to either wait for a regular meeting, a special meeting, or an emergency meeting to have the item approved. For instance, waiving the public bidding requirements for purchases of certain goods or services over $25,000 requires at least 4 of the 7 of the village board to be physically present to vote on something. Under the current circumstances, it's unclear how much longer you'll be able to meet for some period of time until there's more clarity on the public health implications of COVID-19. As a result, our office has prepared the ordinance that's before you, and this has been rolled out to the 2 or 3 dozen municipalities that we represent as general counsel, to authorize for the limited purposes of dealing with emergency issues, allowing the village president under a declared state of emergency to take acts that would otherwise have to be taken by the village board. The state of emergency, once declared by the village president, can only last until your next regular meeting, which would be the second Monday in April. The village president can only do things that the village board could otherwise do, okay? The village board cannot otherwise, under your village code or this ordinance, seize someone's home, seize their guns. Those aren't things that we're talking about here. In Champaign, the Champaign city attorney said they cut and pasted the governor's authority for emergency matters. The governor of the state of Illinois has broader authority to ensure public safety than a municipality does. A municipality is a subset of the state. It's not on equal footing. Our ordinance is much different. And you heard Ms. Altier read section 2D of the ordinance. Our ordinance, in fact, says that just like the village board can't violate someone's constitutional rights, neither can the village president. She may only, under a declared state of emergency in the village, do things that you may otherwise do. Okay, so this is a tool that will give flexibility, because now by the stroke of her pen, under a declared state of emergency, she could enter an executive order to make that emergency purchase, to waive hours of delivery for grocery stores, which otherwise can only take deliveries between 7 a.m. and midnight. If the village president finds that it's prudent, she can say that they can accept deliveries at other times to allow them to be restocked. These are practical things that the village president can do, other than getting 4 of you together to vote on these issues between now and your next regular village board meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
So the meeting we had scheduled for the 30th, that was a special meeting?
That's a special meeting.
Because we changed
it. And it may get canceled, but yes, that's a special meeting.
Right. Yeah. And the village president, upon declaring the state of emergency, can always withdraw that in her discretion as well. So if things clear up, then she may withdraw it. But otherwise, under the Illinois Municipal Code, which provides this process for local states of emergencies, it would last at the longest through the adjournment of your first regular meeting, which is the second Monday in April.
So just following up on that question, I looked at the Illinois Municipal League proposed draft, and their language about until the next village board meeting was slightly different. It said until the next special or regular meeting. So I wonder if we could make it until our next special or regular meeting, or just say until our next meeting. I don't know.
And so our ordinance tracked the state law, which says that a state of emergency declared as provided in this section shall expire not later than adjournment of the first regular meeting of the corporate authorities after it's been declared. So that's what the state law says. You could move that time up if you wanted to by amending the ordinance. We just provided what state law provides.
Yeah, so for example, we're meeting today as a special meeting, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So if we continue to have the need to have special meetings, then it might be helpful to and allow us to work at the special meetings, you know, aside from this executive.
And you may still operate as the village board during this time. This doesn't divest the village board of any authority. It simply gives Kathy the ability to do things related to the emergency on your behalf. Right. So the village board is still able to meet if needed. You're not losing that authority.
Right.
Does that make sense? It's a concurrent jurisdiction.
Yeah, I just wonder why we wouldn't make it next regular or special, like the IML
Hello.
Model.
Hello.
Yep. Okay, Russ.
Jeff.
Well,
thank you.
I don't know. I thought. Well, again, we can. But the 30th may get canceled as well. I mean, that's what we're thinking about. So.
And I actually had another thought this morning when I got an email from a resident who wanted to attend in person, but made a decision not to attend because he falls into one of the special categories. Should we be considering whether or not we allow ourselves to meet telephonically for non-work purposes as well?
Oh, so that's something that's been discussed widely. At this time, the Open Meetings Act still applies, notwithstanding all the disaster declarations occurring. The governor would have to take action or the General Assembly to waive that requirement.
Wow.
So we can't control that.
Okay.
Our firm, Kleinthorpe & Jenkins, has proposed legislation in Springfield when we thought that they were still going to be in session, and then they canceled their sessions last week, that would have allowed for pure remote attendance. So everyone could have dialed in during a public health emergency. That bill didn't get introduced because they left Springfield. So we'll certainly update you. The IML is pushing the governor to issue an executive order
and that was
to
on that.
Allow for exactly what you're talking about.
And that was actually on that memo.
But I did have a question. Under the Open Meetings Act, we have to have a quorum present, right?
Physically present, yes.
Okay. Right.
That's right. And Trustee Brennan, I did pull up the IML model ordinance, and you're right. They've proposed that it be at the next regular or special meeting of the public body. So if the village president agrees, we could certainly add that to this ordinance.
I have no issues. I mean, again.
I guess I don't understand. I apologize. I don't understand the difference.
Okay.
So the question is, how long would the locally declared disaster it last? Through your next regular meeting?
Yeah.
Which are second and fourth Mondays,
yeah,
or the next special meeting.
Okay.
And so it would pull it up if you did a special meeting.
And right now, Erica, we have a special meeting on books on the 30th.
Right. But
the chances are I would probably cancel that anyway, yeah, due to the you know, the issues that our country's under. So, but yeah, I mean, I have no issues of creating. That's what you all want.
Do I need to amend my motion?
Is that what you want? Is that the next special?
In my view, it's kind of six one half dozen the other, because you call special meetings. So if you wanted to abuse this authority, you just wouldn't call a special meeting. But
right.
I have no problem amending it. I have no problem amending my,
fine,
if I need to. Do I?
Yes, you should.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'll amend my motion to include, in addition to regular meetings, special meetings regarding the expiration of the emergency authority.
Yeah. It's a small detail in the scheme of things. Okay.
Right. And that it would be an amendment to Section C8
right
of the ordinance. We'll just add the first regular or special meeting.
Wait,
it was Trustees Bachner.
No,
I apologize.
It was Bachner and Brennan.
That's right.
That's why I'm confused.
Okay,
sorry.
Erica.
Thank you, Katie.
So move to approve the ordinance for state of emergency and amend it to be for the special meetings instead of regular meetings.
Or
no,
special
or regular meetings.
Trustee Brennan, do you second?
Second.
Okay, you approve. All right. Again, it helps out. No worries. It's all good. All right, so any further questions or comments on this? Well, I'll go ahead and then ask the clerk to take the vote on this.
I would like to just say that I do think this is a critical need in our town and our village, and I trust in your authority, and I'm glad to see that we will have quick and swift movement in combating the COVID-19 and any resources that come because of this. So thank you. Thank you to you, Kathy, the village administration, everybody who's worked on the policies and getting everything ready in the village so that everyone is safe and healthy. Thank you especially to the first responders.
Yes.
Can I just tag on that? Just for the resident, we've had this information for a couple of days. So this isn't something that we got last night or yesterday morning. We've had this for a couple of days. Eric and his team have, you know, started in on this late last week. So we have had a chance to digest it. And I know individually some of us that have had conversations. So we're not doing this, you know, this is not a snap decision on our part. So, but thank you for coming out this morning.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, Russ.
Oh, thank you. First of all, I want to echo the comments from my fellow trustees, but I also want to add that I've been inundated here at Elgin Community College with dealing with all these COVID-19 issues when it comes to the college campus. So one of the issues we have run into is working with our municipalities and the state when they didn't have this type of language that would allow them to work quicker. So I applaud the efforts, and I applaud and will also encourage and vote for this amendment as well. I'm sorry, for this ordinance.
Yep. Thank you, Russ. Yep. All right. Once we take the vote, and then I will read what I will pass on to the press after this meeting and then to our community as well. So I'll go ahead and ask you to take the vote.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, thank you. And so now I'd like to talk about two things. I want to bear with me. I think it's worth reading out loud this press release, only to the extent that there are probably people watching and listening. So I think it's important, and hopefully the press will pick this up as well. If they don't, we will make sure that they get the message. And then I also want to talk about a program that we have been working with a few residents in town about a senior citizen outreach program, along with the township. And I'll get into that because that's a special program given the heightened awareness of those folks that are 60 plus and compromised. We need to pay particular attention to them, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So let me go ahead. Dear River Forest residents, this morning I called a special meeting of the Village Board of Trustees to adopt an ordinance that would allow me as Village President to declare a state of emergency in the Village of River Forest. Immediately after adopting the ordinance, I declared a state of emergency in the village, which I will sign. The authority is granted to municipalities in the state of Illinois Municipal Code. A village declared state of emergency gives my office certain abilities and powers to issue executive orders to help the village respond to issues of village concern more quickly and effectively. Some examples of this include ease in making emergency purchases and entering into emergency-related contracts that would otherwise require village board approval, which may now be quickly approved by an executive order issued by the village president. Of course, we will continue to seek federal and state funding and resources for costs associated with this crisis. I cannot stress enough the need for speed and flexibility in times of emergencies. This declaration allows for just that. Governor Pritzker on March 9th declared a state of emergency for Illinois, and then just yesterday ordered all bars and restaurants closed due to the COVID-19 crisis. Of course, that excludes pickup and delivery. Therefore, we will follow the direction of our governor and other state officials to maintain the health and safety of our community. If you believe you have COVID-19 or have been exposed to it, please call or email your physician immediately. If you are unable to contact your physician or do not have one, you should contact the Cook County Department of Health, Public Health at 708-633-4000, press 3. You may also call the Illinois Department of Public Health coronavirus hotline at 1-800-889-3931. The village knows that this pandemic can be especially hard on our senior citizens and those in need, and for those individuals who may need additional help and assistance. As always, we ask our residents to check in on our neighbors who are older and in need. The village is working with the River Forest Township to provide additional services as needed for our seniors and others in need. There will be an outreach to River Forest seniors this week, and along with the creation and coordination of a program to aid these individuals. We are asking our residents to help volunteer their time to help others in need. More information will be forthcoming in a bit. Further, I have directed the village staff and departments to take all precautions in order to maintain our services and continuity of operation. The village administration is meeting daily to respond to discuss, plan, and respond to the ongoing pandemic. I want to share with you some of the most important matters. Village Hall remains open, which includes all of the operating departments. We are evaluating our operations on a daily basis. Non-essential employees are able to work from home. We are encouraging residents to utilize our virtual Village Hall, which includes all of our online and telephonic options before physically coming into Village Hall. If you are in doubt, please call us at 708-366-8500 and dial 0 to speak to an operator, or visit us online at www.vrf.us. After hours, please call the village non-emergency number, which is 708-366-7125. And finally, always call 911 in emergency. we will be closing Village Hall on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, for Election Day, as Village Hall is a polling place. We have consolidated our Village Hall front counter operations in order to minimize potential exposure to employees and customers. Additional cleaning and sanitizing of high traffic areas, meeting rooms, and other visitor areas in Village Hall has been in place for the last 2 weeks and will continue until further notice. Effective March 13th and until March 30th, in an abundance of caution, the Village of River Forest is postponing all non-critical meetings and events. This includes our local boards and commissions. Please note that this could extend, that we could extend this date based on future information. Village Hall will close on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. through March 30th. The March 25th, 2020 local adjudication at Village Hall will be postponed until April. The Village Police and Fire Departments continue to operate while taking extra precautions in the operation as it relates to wearing personal protective equipment and conducting extra sanitation after interactions with a customer or resident. The Village Emergency Medical Response Team continues to be in contact with Loyola Medical Center and Cook County Department of Public Health and the Illinois Department of Public Health regarding changes to any protocols, any further guidance regarding COVID-19. The Villages of River Forest, Elmwood Park, and Forest Park are members of TRIPCON, an intergovernmental agreement that was created and maintains a coordinated plan for mass pharmaceutical distribution that will be activated if needed. Village drinking water, tap water, continues to be safe, and residents are encouraged to continue to use it as they deem necessary. All water shutoffs have been temporarily postponed. As it currently stands, Election Day will proceed as normal on Tuesday, tomorrow, March 17th. The latest information regarding the election can be found by visiting a Cook County Clerk's page. To the best of our knowledge, there are no changes in the polling places here in River Forest. We also want everyone to be aware of scams. Unfortunately, in crisis, there are scams. And there are bad actors that use this time to create malicious pranks, spam, and phishing emails designed to capitalize on global attention to the COVID-19 pandemic. These malicious individuals use email to pose as authority figures and attempt to steal personal information, commit fraud, or attack the individual. As a reminder, please note the following to protect yourself. Always check the sender's email address closely and make sure you recognize it. Never click links in unfamiliar emails. Avoid opening attachments unless you have verified the sender. Be especially wary of unexpected communication that asks you to sign in, provide credentials, or provide other sensitive information. Be alert to the facts that malicious parties often try to instill a sense of high urgency or close familiarity to catch you off guard. Finally, as you have probably read, the governor has ordered the closure of schools and other large gatherings within the state of Illinois. Below, in this press release, you will find links to all the local entities where you can receive the latest information on their closures and related program information. As always, you can find more facts, updates, and information on COVID-19, including symptoms and transmissions of the virus, at the following links: the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the Illinois Department of Public Health, the Cook County Department of Public Health, the City of Chicago. Of course, you can always subscribe to official updates from CDC, receive updates through the Illinois Department of Public Health coronavirus hotline, and email account at 1-800-889-3931. And of course, we recommend everyone to sign up for our e-newsletter, as we will continue to provide news updates through our e-newsletter. Again, I want to thank the Village Board of Trustees, the clerk, for giving us this authority to implement the emergencies that are important to our community. So I appreciate the trust that you have given me on that. Let's talk a little bit about our senior citizen outreach program, given that those that are 60 plus and are compromised are the most at risk. I have talked to many folks in this past weekend regarding how, and the township, Carla Sloan, who has been, we've been working very well in terms of coming up with a good program. So what we'd like to do, there are senior citizens, let me tell you what the issue is, right? There are senior citizens in River Forest that may need some assistance during the COVID-19 pandemic. Seniors may be reluctant to leave their residence to be in the general public, as people over 60 who contract COVID-19 are at a greater risk of an increased likelihood of a medical illness. Seniors above 60, and especially with underlying chronic conditions, should avoid leaving the house and should practice social distancing. River Forest Township, through Township Senior Services, will continue as the front line to serve the River Forest seniors who currently receive dine-in and home delivery meals. So if you're signed up for all of these programs, by the way, through the township, you will continue to receive these services. Again, dine-in and home delivery meals, transportation, priority given to medical and other essential needs, care management, so care managers will increase well-checked phone contacts, information and referrals. These services are anticipated to continue as long as the Illinois Department of Public Health and Age Options, which is their vendor, allows. Township Senior Services maintains regular contact with these seniors. Township Senior Services is ready and willing to receive additional calls and referrals for services which will arise as a pandemic continues. The Township Supervisor, Carla Sloan, stated that calls from seniors coming to the village, particularly those relating to the above services, can be referred to her and or Township Senior Services directly. However, there is potentially another population of seniors who may need assistance in addition to the services provided by the Township Senior Services. This might include prescription or grocery pickups, for example. So how do we make contact with these individuals? What services do we offer them for assistance? What individuals can help them? The village has procured the senior citizen property tax exemption list through the Cook County Assessor's office. Again, that's the list of all the residents that have gotten senior exemptions. The list includes approximately 1,000 PINs or addresses out of the River Forest, roughly 2,000 seniors. It should be noted that this list includes seniors in owner-occupied units only. It does not include rentals. We could proactively contact this list in regards to the following. So we'll have to do some work with the rental units. We cannot know the universe and quantity of issues that may arise. Township Senior Services staff may reach capacity, or seniors will likely require assistance outside their purview of the senior services. In response, the village, in support with the township, is asking and will provide to hire an individual on a temporary basis to help coordinate a senior assistance program during the pandemic high need period. Eric is suggesting that we pay this person a $20 hourly rate, although we are still looking for the person. Their primary responsibility would be to handle senior request intake, refer relevant requests to Township Senior Services, and build a database of volunteers. Virtual task force is already being done, by the way, with several great residents. Allowing the person to come on board will allow existing village staff to focus on continuity of village operations. So what are the next steps in this program? Next steps is to identify the individual, which we've had some conversations already, who has the capacity to work for the next 4 to 8 weeks to run this program. The village can provide necessary resources, phone, computers, and such, to help the program. We will send letters by U.S. mail to seniors from the senior property tax exemption list, providing contact information if they have needs. So we're going to send letters to those PINs to ensure that if anybody has a need, we are here. We're going to empower that individual to seek volunteers and work with the virtual task force to help find volunteers to assist seniors and then match up those individuals. So the individual will help us get volunteers. The volunteers will be matched up with the seniors that are in need. This person can also help with any other COVID-19 issues. So I am going to put this program in place immediately, unless anyone has questions.
I have a question.
Yep.
Given you don't really know what the number of individuals
individuals that would participate? I mean, incrementally, how much more is it to send emails to all of our residents, a letter to all of our residents saying, hey, if you fall into this category, contact us? I mean,
well, it's a lot of work if we'd send a U.S. mail. So we're going to look at, unless I'm listening, hearing you right, correct, we're going to do it by U.S. mail, not by email, just so we can get to the, you know, key.
Yeah, you know, whether email or U.S. mail, I mean, I understand the additional cost or whatever, but I mean, if you're going to have potentially 1,000 people or so who aren't going to have access to the information, just a thought. So
I'm not, unless I'm missing something here. So well, you're saying to do it to the universe?
And what I'm doing, saying is do a mass, I mean, you can't identify it right now.
Well,
you have a good list from the assessor, but again, people who are renting, people who are living,
that's correct,
you know, in someone else's home or whatever, they may need these services. Instead of just sending 1,000 letters out, maybe we need to send a letter to all the residents to ask if they qualify. Just a thought.
It seems to make sense to do it by email, at least to the, if we have some emails, you know, for tag registrations and like that would be free or, you know, close to free and would cover some subset of that. Not everyone, you're right. And the other, piggybacking on that, the village board was contacted by the president of a condo association in town who proactively has made some measures internally at their multi-unit dwelling. Can this group also reach out to known representatives of multi-unit dwellings like this gentleman?
Great. And I forgot to mention, well, Bob, the gentleman that you mentioned, and others, there's also Susan Lucci, who has done a block by block you know, reach to her to the blocks among around her home. So all of those, and Helen is here, Helen Kwan has been on working with Helen and others trying to sort all that out. But yes, that is the intent, is to have this group coordinator to help coordinate condos block by block. So I think we can get to where you're asking, Bob, maybe by different means, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, I know we have to have a broader reach, and we certainly have to get to the rentals.
I guess in understanding Bob's question, mm-hmm. what would be the time difference in sending an U.S. postage mail to all residents versus just this list of 1,000? And what's the cost differential?
Yeah, the concern would be access of the database of information. So we, you know, usually in situations where we're trying to get a hold of everyone, we do bulk mailing. So you would go ahead and do a postcard or something like that, and then it gets blanketed to everyone within that zip code. We could certainly look at that and talk to those folks. I think what you're going to find, and here's the one thing we learn in our the chiefs will tell you this in our emergency management training, is perfection is the enemy in a disaster emergency situation. It just is. And I will make one general comment. We're going to make probably some mistakes that aren't perfect. Things are going to get clunky for a period of time. That's just how these things operate. And having gone through something, other emergencies in the past, it's just the nature of the beast. What I would say is once we get this letter out, use social media, we use our website, we send out emails. That's going to permeate through the community. And we have a strong network as well. I suspect by word of mouth and all internal informal networks, that word is going to permeate to other folks. But I think my sense would be we've got a strong database. Let's get that out immediately and get that moving along. And then as that's completed, then let's try to figure out there's other efficient means to get to other folks in town.
So we could do this sending out the letter to 1,000 people, to our connected contacts we have with the condos or whatever, and then also maybe at a later date send it out to the entire residents.
It's a possibility, and again, I think we take that under advisement. And as we work through, Helen's been gracious enough to meet with me after this meeting to start working through those items. We can start doing that. Nothing is off the table.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing's off the table. And so all these are, to your point, I didn't mean to
Go ahead.
Interrupt, but you're right. It's just a matter of how quickly we can.
I understand. Yeah.
Okay, real good. Any other comments or questions or feedback, and again, if you can't come up with it right now, no worries. Just send us your thoughts in email or phone, or and we're open for all suggestions and comments. I mean, I think this is a
Do you already have people in mind for this position?
We do. We do. Okay. We've been talking to a few folks.
Yeah, and I would just want to thank the Village Board again for taking the action that you did this morning. Again, we always say you don't know what you don't know. And in situations like this, speed and expediency is so important in how we respond to things. So to authorize the village president to be able to declare an emergency and then act as appropriately is very important for our operations and how we operate as an organization. So thank you for that. And we are not, as I was telling the village president, Elmhurst has a special meeting tonight to take up the same issue. Elgin adopted an ordinance. Highland Park did one over the weekend. I mean, they're everyone's going to be doing this action.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this is, we're just ahead of the curve, which is kind of.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't want to use that terminology.
We're flattening the curve. We're going to try to flatten the curve and stay ahead
of
it as well.
Thing to be, I guess.
And Village President, I've asked the police chief and fire chief,
yes.
If I could
I asked Eric to ensure that our chiefs give us an update on the public health and how they're responding to it. So, Chief Bowman, do you want to take the podium first? Thanks.
Fire department has suspended non-essential in-person duties such as fire inspections, station tours, and public education. We're exploring ways to provide some of these services remotely. Currently, we're focusing on providing our same emergency services while protecting residents and our firefighters from exposure as much as possible. Eventually, residents may see us wearing SCBAs on EMS calls. This will be the protocol when we run out of N95 masks.
All right.
Other standard PPE will be used when appropriate. West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch has been screening 911 calls to provide advanced knowledge of potential infected patients. To date, we have no confirmed cases in River Forest. TripCom, our pharmaceutical distribution program, is preparing for a possible activation if a vaccine becomes available. Currently, there are no immediate plans for activation of TripCom.
Yeah, good. Any questions on TripCom? These guys have been, you know, working years in perfecting TripCom. It's just it's an emergency response to probably what we're in right now. If there's a prescription that's required.
Yeah, we actually just had a meeting last week. We're always working on improving our plans. So.
And explain TripCon in terms of where the pharmaceutical, they're currently now would be a concurrent.
There's a national stockpile,
right.
And the state has part of that stockpile.
Mm-hmm.
If we are activated, we would contact them and they would give us a pickup location to pick up all the pharmaceuticals. All those forms that you guys filled out over the last week or two, that's part of it. So you would automatically have those for yourself, and then we would also have enough for all the residents.
Okay, very good. Well, we appreciate all that you do. Thank you, mm-hmm. Kurt. Appreciate it. Jim?
Just for the record, I got a text from Rez. He had to leave.
He had to leave. Meeting. Okay, no worries. Thanks. No problem. Probably was calling me too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The police department has been monitoring information and developments regarding COVID-19 since the information regarding the virus became available in January of this year. The department has received and distributed information to staff and personnel, which has come from the Center for Disease Control, the Department of Homeland Security, Illinois Department of Public Health, the Statewide Terrorism and Intelligence Center, the Cook County Department of Public Health, Chicago Police Department Crime Prevention and Intelligence Center, and Loyola University Healthcare System, and other associations and organizations that we belong to. Police Department Command Staff has met with the Village Management Team and implemented best practices to ensure the safety of the public and our personnel. The department regularly conducts inspections and the cleaning of all work areas and police vehicles. Based on the information available regarding COVID-19, vehicles and work areas are cleaned and inspected at least 3 times per day and more frequently if needed, especially if we have customers that have been in our vehicles. Each shift personnel is assigned to perform a more thorough cleaning of these areas I've mentioned at least once a week at this juncture. The necessary products and protective equipment were provided to department members. Building maintenance personnel also clean the work areas daily. Additionally, the department utilizes a private company to provide cleanup in cases where biohazard waste has been observed in areas that need to be cleaned that could compromise not only the public, but also our own personnel. Department members were advised to restrict food products to the employee lunchroom. No outside prepared food from the public will be allowed in the department. As you know, sometimes a family drops off some cookies they made at this time. Yeah. We appreciate the gesture, but we won't be able to consume said products. Outside training classes and travel for department personnel has been canceled or are under review based on the dates of said training. Existing supplies of antiseptic products have been distributed throughout the department and to all personnel. Each police vehicle has at least one ready-to-use PPE kit, as well as other PPE supplies. Officers also carry their own PPE equipment in their equipment bags and on their person on a regular basis. Department members were reminded to have their equipment ready and available, and additional protective equipment, including antiseptic cleaners, wearable equipment, and gloves and respirator filters have been ordered. An inventory of all PPE products was completed on March 15th. And as you know, these products we always have on hand because as you know, we have numerous evidence technicians that need these products to do their work when they're processing crime scenes or dealing with those that may have communicable diseases and also when assisting the fire department. The department has worked with village staff, especially on March 13th. We've implemented additional plans for residents and customers of the village to have a single location to conduct village business, which was mentioned up on the second floor. Police records window was arranged as a temporary workstation to provide a safer place for customers and residents to conduct village business. And those work areas are cleaned regularly, which means a customer comes in, the area is cleaned once that customer leaves again. Yep. The command staff has met with their counterparts from neighboring towns and discussed plans for existing mass pharmaceutical distribution plans, as the village president has mentioned and the fire chief mentioned, with regard to TRIPCOM. And from what I understand, that can not only be the distribution of pharmaceuticals, but also the need of mass testing kits or self-testing kits would need to be provided to families. The commitments with regard to mutual aid have been reaffirmed, and we've had individual meetings with the towns around us with regard to continuity of service and mutual aid to make sure we're able to keep this area safe. In the event the village is required to escalate its response to COVID-19, the River Forest Police Department is prepared to do so and will keep employees and the public informed and protected. The River Forest Police Department has continuously provided proactive role in the safety and well-being of the officers, their families, and the members of the public. And as has been mentioned, this PPE equipment is key to that. Some of the things that we're waiting for or that are also looking at is some direction and orders from Cook County government. We've seen some great direction from state government right now, but we're not getting the direction from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, the Chief Judge's Office, or the Cook County Clerk's Office as far as what we're going to be doing with our prisoners. We know that they're still holding bond courts. They've made some announcements in press releases, but they have not contacted, from my understanding, the city managers, the mayors and village presidents, or the police chiefs of all municipalities within Cook County. So if you hear anything, please, please pass it on. As far as the ongoing updates, we're getting those through our business liaison officer and the supervisor with regard to what businesses are staying open, one are limiting their hours, and that's an ongoing process. With regard to arrests or ticket writing, we're sort of limiting that at this time. Once again, as part of limiting the contact with the public, we are not shutting down services, and the officers will be wearing the protective gear. But tickets, I-bonds, or releasing without charge at this time, pending being able to pick them up again, may be utilized based on how this advances. We're going to be conducting some outdoor roll calls. So in our roll call room, we don't have everyone mixing in and out in between shifts. And we're going to really, you're going to see a lot of high visibility patrols and us to be available to the public if they do have questions. And of course, we're going to be trying to practice the social distance, which is talked about, which is 6 feet, which most of us are all violating at this time. So one of the big things is that we've talked about and the officers are on board is a lot of education and eventually the enforcement of the directives that are coming out under the state, county, and village emergency declarations. And we're all a big part of that. And I know there's gonna, the village attorney, Greg Smith, is already engaged in making sure we're doing things that are legal, seeing what's on the books and seeing if anything else needs to be added to our ordinances that would assist us during this time. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
No, that's absolutely great. Thank you, Jim. I think it's important to hear from you. I do think, though, there is one question that I got in terms of enforcement of Governor Pritzker's ban. Now, the good news is we don't have bars, but we do have restaurants. And I know in it's only for in-dining. So is there any?
Correct. I think what we're seeing is hopefully, you know, chairs are removed. They're put up. There's signage in, and it could be the Starbucks section at the Jewel, the Whole Foods where they have the dining section there, the Noodles and Company, Boston Market, Starbucks, of course, is going to be an interesting one, the main Starbucks and how they're going to handle that. But we're going to be working with them on that educational piece. I'm hoping that most of these are big corporations and they already are taking on these protocols. And we hope no one would intentionally violate the governor's orders, but we will be prepared one way or the other. I believe there are also maybe some issues with regarding traffic control with regard to some areas that will be now going to, or some businesses that will be going to pick up.
Yeah.
Trustee O'Connell mentioned something to me just before the meeting, and we'll be monitoring that also. And last thing, and we hope it doesn't reach that level, is you're going to possibly see some communities starting to shut down some of their borders or thoroughfares to kind of keep people more out of, you know, onto the main thoroughfares and not within the communities themselves. So everything's fluid and nothing's off the table right now.
Okay. Very good, Chief. Thank you so much. Yep, these are difficult times, but I think as a community, you know, I think we're going to get through this like we've gotten through, I think, other crises, 911 and others. I know this is this is very different, but I know our employees, our staff, you guys are all great. So thank you so much. Any other questions or points that any of the trustees want to make? If not,
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
The village board received a couple of emails in the last couple of days. One from a resident who was concerned about hourly workers for the village schools, township library, and not receiving, you know, pay during this time. And of course, we can't probably speak to non-village employees. But I thought I would just, on behalf of that resident, ask that question. Sounds like we're trying to keep Village Hall, you know, open and working, but maybe on a streamlined basis.
Yeah, in fact, I asked the village attorney to address that resident's concern over the weekend.
So the issue of pay for people who are put on leave is ultimately up to their relationship with the employer and what the employer's policies are at this time. It's possible that some organizations, depending on how they reduce hours or lay people off, they could be entitled to unemployment compensation. There was a bill that passed out of the United States House of Representatives, which would amend the Family Medical Leave Act and another federal law that would mandate paid leave for people who are affected with COVID-19 and can't work or who have to care for families by giving additional mandated paid sick leave. It would become an employer obligation, and then there's an attempt to offset those costs with payroll tax breaks and other things. But unless that legislation makes it out of the Senate and is signed by the president, it's primarily going to be up to each employer to decide how do they deal with these issues, and then the unemployment process for compensation is probably where people are going to be looking if their employers don't extend them, paid leave in the meantime.
So we will have that written up and send that to the, we're working on that response to that resident as well.
Thanks. And I just wanted to say, I am so grateful for the flexibility and dedication and skill of our staff and my fellow elected officials and our village attorney during this time to be able to work together and react so quickly. And particularly this morning I was thinking about residents who couldn't come here or chose not to come here for social distancing. And just this year we decided to have live streamlining or streaming of our village board meeting so that those who couldn't come or don't want to come are able to see this live. So grateful for everyone working together for the safety of our residents.
Thank you again. I think that concludes our village board meeting, so I will ask the clerk I need a motion to adjourn. I guess
motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Since Trustee Vasquez is no longer connected, do I need a roll call vote, or can I do
You can say all in favor, and okay. The minutes should just note approximately when he dropped out of the meeting.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Adjourned at...